Hi, folks. It's Jeff Sachs from Web Yeshiva. We're here in Mishkan Sipora in Efrat and online to people all around the world. Before we begin, a question was raised about the history of the printing, history of the printing of the Talmud. There's an article I mentioned. There's an article in Tradition, a little journal of Jewish thought that I happen to edit, where David often publishes his scholarship. I'm putting a link to it here in the chat, and those of you that aren't in the chat can go to traditiononline.org and go to whatever the latest issue is, and find by Yoel Finkelman that addresses this question of the cultural and material history of the Talmudic page layout from Bamberg to the Beit Midrash. Bamberg being the printer that kind of gave the Gemara its iconic, it's, you know, what we think of as the page of the Gemara here, since we're learning Gemara. The iconic page of the Gemara, that's from Bamberg, Daniel Bamberg. Even though Daniel Bamberg sounds like a guy you sat next to in shul, Bamberg himself was not Jewish, even though he has a very Jewish-sounding name, doesn't he? Yeah. I mean, there are all these figures in medieval and early modern history. Some, you know, you can't tell people just by their last names. Pablo Cristiani. Would you guess Jew or not Jew? You know, there's that website that tells you if somebody's Jew or not Jew. He was Nafka a Jew, Pablo Cristiani. That was not his original name, right? He was a Mishumud. He was a convert. Right? His real name was, you know, Fivel Krakowski. No, that wasn't really his name. But and Daniel Bamberg, who sounds like the president of this club, he was not a Jew, but he was the printer of the. He was the designer of the iconic page of the Talmud that went through different Gilgulim to get to what we know as the Vilna Shas, which became the kind of eternal icon, right? No one will ever change that. But yes, but they haven't succeeded. Even Steinsaltz gave it, right? Obviously everybody keeps the page numbers. The page numbering predates the Vilna Shas, right? The page numbering is Bamberg. And once Bamberg gives it this universal reference system that Daf Lamed Omid Beis begins with the same word in every single, so that you could have universal reference, right? So then that's just so convenient it will never be rendered useless. But maybe Bamberg had, he was a Gilgul of a Yid. Maybe. We'll toss one back to himself. And we'll raise a glass. Not to Daniel Bamberg. Yair Densker, who's getting married tomorrow night, should be in a Shatova, Mutzlachas, Mazel Tov, Mazel. Who's the Kala?
It's Rachel Zolter.
Rachel Zolter from here. She's an Efrat girl. It's a Inve Agefen, Binve Agefen. So those of you at home can raise your own glass and toast our friend Ben here, who's marrying off his son tomorrow. And I should mention that our loyal participant, Tzvi Meizel, who's always here, is not here tonight, and he's not even online, but no doubt he's listening to the recording at some point in the future. He's probably sitting with Steve, and they're listening to the recording together. But because he's got something with his mishpocha for his yard sites, for his father, Yisrael ben Pesach, Zichron Olavrecha, and are learning Irving. It was reported to me his name was Yisrael, but if amongst certain crowds, he was known as Irving, so we toast to Irving as well, and we'll learn Le'ilui Nishmato. Okay, back to the Gemara. We're getting near the end of this long discussion, or at least this initial long discussion about Shlichut, and what is the source of Shlichut. The Gemara had said, let's see if I have my notes here. Believe it or not, I forgot my Gemara, but I have it on the screen. But I have it here on the screen. So the Gemara wants to know what is the source for the idea that there is such a thing as shlichut. I mean, it's obvious, we take it for granted that there is such a thing as shlichut. You can make a messenger, an emissary, an agent to do your bidding, to accomplish certain halachic goals. But the Gemara, in entertaining different possibilities for what I've been calling the home base for shlichut, One of the ideas was truma, that you could have an agent, a shaliach, separate the truma off of your produce. So the Gemara says, we need to tell you, we couldn't have learned truma out from one of the other things. We need to specify that truma can be done. And the limud was from the pasuk, atem, gam atem. You take it, also you take it. What? Why do you need that redundancy to teach you? You can do it. And also, somebody else can do it on your behalf. We need to teach you that truma, we need to specify that truma is one of the things that can have a shliach, because of Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, that this is just by review of what we did last week. Check your notebooks. Rabbi Yochanan had said that an eved, a slave, is not bar shlichuta. He can't be involved as a shaliach in doing something because he has no agency for himself. And in order to be a shaliach for someone else, you have to be in the parasha. And just like a slave cannot create marriage or sever marriage through kiddushin or gerushin, he cannot be an agent to do that for other people as well. But he cannot be a shaliach. But what is one thing? What is one thing that a non-Jew can do? A non-Jew also can't be a shaliach. But a non-Jew can do one thing. A non-Jew can be mafrish truma. Now, what does that mean, a non-Jew can be mafrish truma? A non-Jew isn't obligated in mitzvot. But if a non-Jew has non-Jew living in Eretz Yisrael has produce growing on his land, for which, as a non-Jew, he doesn't have to take truma. And as a matter of fact, if he gifts it to us, we don't have to take truma because it was the produce of a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says if the non-Jew voluntarily is mafrish truma, separates truma, and designates it as such, it has the status of truma. So the Gemara says, the Gemara considers, since the non-Jew, somebody who's not usually involved in truma, can be mafrish truma for himself, meaning he can create an entity of truma. If a non-Jew goes to a Jewish woman and takes a gold ring that's a shaveh pruta, and he says, Hare at mekudeshet li batabat zu, what do we call that? Gornisht. Nothing. It has absolutely no halachic validity whatsoever. If a non-Jew, however, takes a pile of grain and separates it out and says, Hare ze truma, it's truma. And if I eat it, what happens if I'm not a Kohen. My father wasn't a Kohen. My grandfather wasn't a Kohen. And on top of that, even if I was a Kohen, I'm Tomei. What happens if I eat it? I'm in a lot of trouble.
The definition of the guy picks up a truma,
the Seder, but in other words, if you are mafrish truma, right? Even when you and I are mafrish truma from time to time, we're tamei, right? The Kohen can't eat it because the Kohen is tamei, but it's truma. It has a din of truma. This is only for truma. Well, maser is not. In other words, maser doesn't have any inherent kedusha. What? Maser sheni is something else. Yeah. No, this is truma.
Okay, the same way that we accept
maybe there's all types of reasons. There's all types of reasons that you might think that the truma of a non-Jew has the status of truma, right? Charles suggested that maybe it's connected to the idea that you're David.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Who's Charles?
Someone else.
There was a Charles here.
A lot of people, yeah.
I apologize. There's a lot of new people around in the shul, and I haven't. You're Elliot.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're David.
I am still.
You're from Los Angeles.
Still.
Okay. You're not still from Los Angeles. Now you're from the front.
Originally.
So David suggested that the reason that the truma of a non-Jew might be considered truma is because it's somehow akin to sacrifices. And we know that non-Jews are allowed to voluntarily bring sacrifices to the Beit HaMikdash. And there's a relationship between truma and sacrifices and offerings. And maybe that's speculation. So the Gemara says, since a non-Jew's truma is actually truma, right? I might have thought that shlichut in truma is different than everything else. Meaning, I might think it operates under its own categories of who can do it and who can be designated to do it. Normally, we don't allow non-Jews to be shlichim. I might think since he's allowed to do it, he's allowed to also be my shliach. No, kamash malon. It's not true. Reject that idea. Even though a non-Jew's truma is truma, he still can't be a shliach to do my truma.
Mm.
And therefore, I might think that truma is in a different category altogether. And therefore, we need an explicit teaching to tell us, no, there is shlichut in truma if a Jew does it for another Jew. There's a separate halacha, completely disconnected, in truma, that a non-Jew is allowed to voluntarily give truma. That's got nothing to do with shlichut. Yes, Dave, try to speak loud so they can hear you online.
Is this a truma becomes truma? The non-Jew didn't do it on his own. He had an obligation. The truma didn't, his status didn't change, which is why he showed after anyone else. But once he did that act, it became truma. Just like there are certain things we do now, even if like we say something has, you know, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example. I know there are examples in halacha where if you do something, even if you weren't supposed to do it, it still has that status of whatever you intend to do.
So, okay, let me do it.
No, I'm saying more like if you dedicate something to a particular task, even if it doesn't have that use of that task, it still has that value. So I'm wondering if it's the truma has a status, but the non-Jew didn't actually, it wasn't actually a torim, a matrim, whatever you want to call the
I don't know. David's speculating on why this is, and the answer to his speculation is, I don't know, but David usually knows what he's talking about, so there must be something there. So the Gemara now says, we're picking up our Gemara, we're at the bottom of Daf Mem Aleph Omid Beis, 41b, about 10 lines up from the bottom. The Gemara says, Ula Rebbe Shimon, De Patar. But wait a second. Not everybody agrees that if a non-Jew separates truma, it's truma. Right? As the Mishnah says, if a non-Jew separates truma, it's truma enough so that if it falls into my pile of wheat, right? If a little bit of truma falls into my pile of wheat, I have to re-separate it. I have to do truma because some truma fell into a pile of wheat that's already been mitukan, has already had trumot u'masro taken off. Right? But what if what fell in is not really truma? So according to the Tanakhama, according to most opinions, if a non-Jew separates truma, it's truma, and if it falls into my pile of already separated wheat, so then I have to start from scratch. Truma was. And if I eat his truma in a manner that I, a non-Kohen, am not allowed to eat, or a Kohen who's tameh, right, is not allowed to eat, so I'm in trouble. But Rabbi Shimon is poter. Rabbi Shimon does not think that the truma of a non-Jew is really truma. It's more like a, what do we call it when you give a donation to the shul? A truma. Right? Right? And it's on the wall. There's a list that says, you know, this person made a donation, that person, and it's called colloquially in modern Hebrew a teruma. But it's a truma with a lowercase t. It's not really truma. It's a dedication. It's a donation that a non-Jew might make to the Jewish priests, to the Jewish Kohanim. Right? And Rabbi Shimon says, you're potter if it falls into your pile of wheat. And you're potter if you eat it by accident. You probably shouldn't eat it. Right? But if it's not like eating real truma with a capital T.
to Rabbi Shimon, who says that no.
The truma of a non-Jew is not really truma. So he's got this problem. Here you do see, by the way, you don't need Tosfos for this, right? You take two topics that the novice would think these had nothing to do with each other. A non-Jew separating tithes to the Jewish priests has bearing and relevance on the question of, can I send a ring with a messenger so that that girl becomes my wife? What do these two things have to do with each other? But you see how it's really all interconnected, right? So one second. So Rabbi Shimon, so he has this problem, because Rabbi Shimon says that the truma of a that he does not believe that the truma of a non-Jew is truma, and therefore atem gam atem, what do you need that for? According to the Tanakhama, you need that to teach you the explicit halakha to prevent you from thinking that truma is somehow in a category of its own shlichut wise, because non-Jews are for the sake of difference, non-Jews have a hand in this operation, and therefore I might have thought that they could be my shlichim. Reject that plausible, rebuttable presumption. I don't know, I've got a mental block against that. Reject that havamina, that rebuttable presumption, right? So Rabbi Shimon, because he comes from a different position, that non-Jews aren't really involved, technically speaking, in Truma. So therefore, there's no rebuttable presumption that you have to prevent. So he says, it's there to teach you. So atem gam atem lamali, what do I need that for? It's tarif. You need to teach that kind of redundant thing, the thing you wouldn't think you would need. Salcha dat, you see, samech dalet aleph, salcha dat cha'amina. It would have gone up on my mind to say, it would have occurred to me to say, I would have been led to the following presumption, which would have been mistaken. Salcha dat cha'amina introduces the havamina, the rebuttable presumption, the false conclusion you would have come to unless we stated the obvious. Salcha dat ramina. Are any of you taking? I know some of you on Web Yeshiva. I know that some of you are. I think Sharon, I think you're in the class. We have a wonderful class going on right now with Dr. Fishman.
Yeah, he's good. He's very good, actually.
With Stuart Fishman from the Rimon. Yeah. You know, he lives here. Yeah. You know Stuart Fishman, yes? He lives here on the other side of Efrat. He's giving a shiur on Web Yeshiva about all the technical terms in Gemara. Right? Like the 50 technical terms. You know, like when you learn to drive, they gave you that little book, that koveret, and you learned, even when you were a kid, you learned that the red octagon means stop, and the white and red triangle means yield, right? And the, what's the upside down yellow triangle? Caution?
Yield is upside down.
Oh, yield is upside down. Anyway, the traffic signals, right? That's what all these technical terms are. Right? The technical terms are, this is what they used to call the Bravender method. You know, here in Web Yeshiva, Rabbi Bravender is our Rosh Yeshiva. Right? And the Bravender method was the idea that if you learn these things, you learn how to drive the car of the Gemara. So he's giving that wonderful class. So I just did Salcha Dat Ha'amina. Salcha Dat Ha'amina, Ho'il Va'omar Mar, Atem Velo Arisim, Atem Velo Shutafin. Atem velo apetropus, atem velo hatorem et she'eno shelo. So I might have thought that atem gam atem was there to teach you all of these other halachot about truma, that you have to give truma your aris, your sharecropper. Atem, yeah. And as if I had said just atem, if it had just said atem, I might have thought, if I didn't have the redundancy in the verse, I might have thought it would have said, Atem, you have to take truma, but don't let your sharecropper take truma. You know what a sharecropper is, right? You own the field, but you lease it out to someone who does the work, and the sharecropper makes money and pays you, right? But who's it's your crop, right? The crop is yours, and he gets paid. The sharecropper gets a share of the profits for working your land. If he's got an incentive to work really hard, because if you have a bigger yield, he'll earn more money. He's not a day laborer. You hire a day laborer to work in your field, he gets the same, you know, minimum wage, whether the field yields a lot or little. So does he have incentive to work really hard or not so hard? He's not so incentivized to work extra hard for you. Vladimir, you're a capitalist, right? Only somebody named Vladimir Lenin could be such a capitalist as you. Right, the difference between Lenin and Lenin is important. So capitalism means that he's incentivized to work just as much as he has to keep his job. Right, but if he's going to earn more money by working harder, he's incentivized. He'll work as hard as whatever. There's a graph that will show you how hard he'll work, but it'll be harder than he would if he's making the same amount of money. So the sharecropper, the aris, is working the land, right? Somebody passes by, it looks like he's the farmer, right? So I might think that he can't take Trumot Ma'asrot on my behalf, because technically the produce is mine, the landowner, right? So I'm if the Pasuk had said, Atem, you take Truma, I might have thought that would mean you take it, and don't let the Aris is not authorized to take it on your behalf. And I might have thought that if there are partners, two people own the land, one partner cannot take truma for the other partner. There has to be something they do together. And I might have thought that that an apotropos, you know what an apotropos is? An apotropos is a guardian, a court appointee, right? Somebody who's designated to. Usually it's for a minor. But he's a custodian, right? So I might have thought that he can't do it. He can't do it either. And I might have thought Hatorim et she'eno shelo, that if I see, I want to help you out, right? I'm afraid you're not going to do the mitzvah, maybe. I'm a chabadnik, right? And I see that there are farmers farming their land who aren't so careful about mitzvot. So I might sneak in and take truma so that they won't be eating tevel. Right, but it's not mine. How can I do it? So I might have thought that all these things. Now it turns out, Torim she'eno shelo, you can't do it, right? You can't be Torim somebody's property that you have no connection to. But in the other cases, you are allowed to do it. But I might have thought all of these things. So that's why Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't really require atem gam atem to teach you shlichut, because he doesn't have the fear that I might have been led to think that non-Jews can do this, and we need to reject that havamina. So atem gam atem, the redundancy in the verse is there to teach you to reject a different havamina, right? So he still has a need. He still has a need for that pasuk. Ema atem velo shluchachem, right? You might have thought that it's you take it and you can't appoint a shaliach. Kamashmalan is another technical term that means rebutted.
QED.
Right? Kamash Malan literally means it is informing us. The kuf at the beginning of an Aramaic verb, correct me, Balashon, is there to tell you that it's a gerund. It's a present infinitive. It's a little grammatical, a grammatical flourish. But it's there to teach you. It's teaching you. It's informing you, right? It's informing you to reject the rebuttable presumption that you would have been led to. Question here. Yes, speak loud.
No,
but the Tanakhama does it. The Tanakhama, we already told you. He needs atem gam atem.
Yeah, but how does the Tanakhama?
It's a good in. Often we might see a formation like that, but in this case, it doesn't do that. The Gemara doesn't take up that question of looking at what the other side, how the other side would have come to know that. So the Gemara now says, "Ha nicha, this all makes sense. This is all comfortable for Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha." Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha had said that the source of shlichut is from Korban Pesach. The entirety of everybody has to bring the Korban Pesach. So obviously somebody has to be doing it on our behalf. Obviously there has to be some shlichut involved. Ella le Rabbi Yonatan, but for Rabbi Yonatan, de mafik le lahai kro le drasha achrina. But Rabbi Yonatan used that posuk, the posuk of Kol Kahal Adat Bnei Yisrael, right? V'shachatu oto. You see Rashi, the last, very last line in Rashi, right? Ha nichal Rabbi Yehoshua de nafka le shlichut de kodshim mi v'shachatu oto. And they will slaughter it. What do you mean they will slaughter it? Every single person's going to slaughter. No, it can't be that every single person is slaughtering the Korban Pesach. Right? Because first of all, no one person does Korban Pesach for themselves. You have to be in a group, in a chabura. And one person has to slaughter it. So if one person has to slaughter it, so obviously, what? He's the shaliach. So that's Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha. But what about Rabbi Yonatan? Rabbi Yonatan learned something else from that pasuk. What did Rabbi Yonatan learn from that pasuk? This is the last line here in the Gemara. Omer minayin shekol Yisrael kulan yotzin, top of 42a, bepesach echad. Rabbi Yonatan said the whole Jewish people, everybody, right? All those people at the Supreme Court yesterday, at the Knesset yesterday, especially them. That everybody, the whole Jewish people, can fulfill the obligation of Korban with one little chad gadyo, with one little goat, one little lamb. How could that be? There was never a time in Jewish history that when Korban Pesach was being brought, when one Korban would have been enough for everybody. Why? Because everybody has to have a kazayit, an olive's worth of meat. And how many kazaitim are there in one little goat, even in a big goat? Right? A lot. Not enough for tens of people. Right? The Rabbi Yonatan says that all of the Jewish people could be Yotze Korban Pesach with one chad gadyo. V'shachatu oto kol kahal adat Yisrael. Bein ha'arbayim. What? What's oy oy oy?
They will slaughter it. All the congregation will slaughter it.
V'chi kol kahal, you'll get the notes from someone else. V'chi kol kahal, v'chi kol kahal kulam shochati. V'halo eino shochet ela echod. And it sounds like you only have to slaughter one. Ela mikan shekol Yisrael yotzim bePesach echad. That the whole Jewish people can fulfill their obligation of bringing the Korban Pesach with one sacrifice. How? Right. In other words, if. Are you yotze the obligation of Korban Pesach with slaughtering the goat or with eating it? Are these two sides of one thing or are they independent obligations? What do you have to do to be involved in the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach? You have to have a subscription. Minui, you have to pay a share or be gifted a share of being a partner in this corporation called Goat Inc.
Same thing as the eating.
You says you. You like to eat.
Consider the shkita of being, you can't eat the goat unless you shecht it.
You can't eat the goat unless you shecht it, says Shalom. So shechting is only something that needs to be done in order to get the meat to eat what you have to eat. Except there's a separate mitzvah of slaughtering this animal. Shechita, what'd you have for dinner? But maybe you had a hamburger. In order to eat your hamburger, someone had to slaughter the there are halachot about how to slaughter the animal. There are even mitzvot that are involved if you slaughter an animal. Right? Your son's a shochet. So you know all about this. If you have the blood, the blood has to be salted, has to be taken out. And if blood, you have to cover up the blood that falls on the ground. What?
That's not rabbits.
He said it's a chicken. Look, why do you think he's so skinny? He doesn't eat beef, he eats chicken. So there's all that. So you could say those are, if you want to eat meat, there's no, you're not obligated to shecht. You could be vegan. There's such a thing. Right? If you want to eat meat, this is how you do it. But that's not the same with korbanot. Right? Everybody has to be involved. I don't know what we'll do with the vegans come Mashiach. Right? But everybody has to be involved everybody's obligated in the Korban Pesach. Right? Not every person has to bring their own Korban. You should be a partner in this Chabura, this collective entity that owns, how many people can be part of the collective entity that owns one Korban? According to Rabbi Yonatan, the whole Jewish people could be partnered in this. Where do you get such a crazy idea that the whole Jewish people can be partnered in the slaughter of one animal for the Korban Pesach? We do it every day. What? What? No, I mean, we do it in the Korban Tamid. Right? All of the communal sacrifices are offered on behalf of Kol Kahal Adat Yisrael, the entirety of the Jewish people. Everyone is a partner in it. It's offered on behalf of the nation. Now, what's the nation? Is the nation its own entity? Is the nation the collective of all the individuals?
But their obligation is to eat it.
Rabbi Yonatan, obviously, if you slaughter one animal for the whole Jewish people, there's not enough meat to feed everybody. So obviously you can't. But let's say it's, I don't know, Shas HaShmat, there's some kind of evil decree. Or let's say there's a COVID and everybody's on lockdown. Or
give me a scenario. The scenario is that you have a chabura that they're on this korban, and they shecht it, and you're part of that, you're in that. And then before you get a chance to eat it, you become tummy.
Exactly. So Shalom raises a good example. I'm very sorry. Sharon, I'm very sorry. I see you're frustrated. We got this new microphone. It's not working. We can't tell people not to speak. I'm going to repeat what they say. That's what I've been doing all night. So just chill. Sharon, I want to see a smile. Let's see a smile. There you go. I'm a member of a chabura. There's 10 people in this chabura. There's plenty of meat to go around. We shecht the animal. I have fulfilled my obligation of shechting the Korban Pesach. Before I can enjoy the meat, like while it's on the spit getting roasted and my appetite is getting whetted, and I'm thinking about the matzah and the morer and everything else, kneidlach, I become tamei, and now I can't eat it. So there's Pesach Sheni. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't have to, right, correct. I don't have to do Pesach Sheni, because at the time that I became tamei, I had already, by the way, that's a perfect example, right? I had fulfilled my obligation of shechting the korban, even though for technical reasons something got messed up and I wasn't able to fulfill the obligation to eat the korban Pesach. Right? So Rabbi Yonatan says that would work for the whole Jewish people. If theoretically, I don't think he recommends this. I don't think he thinks it was ever done or should ever be done. But if all the Jewish people, right? If I have an animal and I say I am mezake, I give a share. What's a share? You know, Google has how many shares are there in Google today? How do you not know? But you own some of them.
Yes.
Very few. Not enough. Google, I don't know. Give me a guess how many shares are in Google.
2 billion.
2 billion shares. Right? So each share, what's Google trading for today? That's $100 a share. So if I own $100 worth of Google, you know what I own? If I own $100 worth of Google, you know what I own? I don't even own the rounding error on the coffee budget for one day of operation on your floor of the Tel Aviv office. Right? I don't know anything. It's irrelevant. It's minuscule. But am I a shareholder in Google? I'm a shareholder in Google. Right? So if I own a goat and I am Mizake, I gift shares to every Jew in the world. Each Jew owns one share of Google. But is he a member of this Chabura? He's a member of this Chabura. And when we shech this goat, he has fulfilled his obligation of Korban Pesach. No doubt, if Chabad was around, somebody would have the idea that they were going to do this for all the people that don't want to bring the Korban Pesach.
I'm curious about something. I don't look it up now, but
13 billion.
There are a number of mitzvot involved with Korban Pesach. There's lavim of etzem l'tish perubo and lotochayim to eat it a certain way. So, but is it possible that basically that he's talking about this specific mitzvah within the collection of mitzvot that are related to eating the Korban Pesach? As far as shechita, it's true that you can do it together. There's different mitzvot that are involved in eating it. In which case, that is not a problem. You don't have to do the whole question of is it eating or is it shechita. No, there's more than one thing you have to do. You have to eat a certain way. That's a mitzvah.
Right.
So if you eat a certain way, you have to eat it. But that's a different thing than shechita. And maybe there's not a problem. You don't have to find it so it's a great idea. If everyone could be shechita together, and everyone could eat together, and so therefore you're two separate issues.
So correct. In other words, the shechita, technically everyone could do. Theoretically everyone could do. Technically it's not going to work because there's not enough meat to go around. Right? So technically we need to have a lot of different korbanot because we need to produce that amount of meat.
Also on a topic or drastic level, yeah. If one of the purposes of the Korban Pesach was to show that we are gods or whatever, then the shechita doesn't matter. It's enough to have, you know, one. That's
correct. That's on a hashkafic level of what's accomplished by slaughtering this animal, which was a symbol of gods.
That was a conscious session of whether it's a hechsher or something on it.
Yeah.
There is something, there's a value to just even if you're not eating it.
So Rabbi Yonatan says that theoretically the whole nation can be partnered in one Korban Pesach. So therefore, if that's the case, the guy, the one person who's doing shechita on behalf of everybody, who is he? He's the shaliach of the whole Jewish people.
Meta shaliach.
So, what?
Meta shaliach.
The meta shaliach, right? He's the CEO. Who's the guy in Google? Suna, I don't know who he is. Right? The Elon Musk of Korban Pesach. So there's no special. So if that's the case, according to Rabbi Yonatan, there's no special need for a limud. You don't need to learn it out because it's built in. That's what the Gemara here says. So shaliach bekodshim manale, what is the source for the idea? You see, we're like five lines down. What is the source for the idea that you can have a shaliach for the sacrifices? Mine, It's from the thing itself. It's built into the idea of kodshim that one person shechts. V'dilma shani hatam. So maybe, wait a second, maybe by this crazy idea of one Korban Pesach for everyone, it's different than all other Korbanot. De'itle shutafut begevayhu. Because Korban Pesach, there's this partnership because of the shares, which is not exactly how the daily sacrifices work. It's true, the daily sacrifices are financed. Everybody, what's this week's parasha? What's this week's parasha? Don't say Mishpatim. It's Parashat Shkalim. When there's a special parasha, the four parashiot, they bump everything else. It's not Parashat Mishpatim, it's Parashat Shkalim. Right? Parashat Shkalim, we're going to read about, it's the Shabbat of Lashon Ivrit, of Lashon HaKodesh, because we learn from Shekel HaKodesh. You once came, I gave that lecture years ago in Beit Agnon. One of the first times I taught in Beit Agnon, you came there. Right? So that's the Rambam and the Ramban about Shekel HaKodesh. Why is the Shekel called Kodesh? Like, what creates Kedusha? And why is Hebrew called Lashon HaKodesh? It's an interesting conversation, but it's separate from what we're talking about. So Parshat Shkalim, everybody has to give a shekel. It's the tax that everybody has to pay in order to finance the operation of the Korbanot. But the Korbanot are offered on behalf of the whole Jewish people. If I didn't give my chatzi shekel for whatever reason, I'm covered by the Korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash. But if I'm not appointed, if I'm not a partner in the Korban Pesach, I can't eat of it. I cannot have fulfilled that obligation. So the Gemara
gave us that. Okay, what we're saying here is the Korban Pesach being different in that the Shechita.
In order to
for you, unless you are a part of that.
And I can't eat of it unless I was part of that. Why? I might think
we're saying that the Shechita is a mitzvah independent of eating.
But maybe the eating isn't a mitzvah independent of the Shechita.
Well, that's kind of difficult to...
Maybe if I wasn't a member of a chabura...
You could only eat one that was shechted on your behalf.
Right. In other words, if I am a member of a chabura and it's shechted on my behalf, and then for whatever reason I don't eat it, I fulfill the obligation of having... Of offering this, the Passover offering. I did not fulfill the obligation to eat it, right? If I wasn't appointed on the Korban Pesach, or if I wasn't appointed on this Korban Pesach, and I ate a different one, I have not fulfilled the obligation to eat because it's not my Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says maybe Pesach is different because it has... Right? He has partnership with them. And therefore, obviously, one person is going to be the shaliach, right? And that might be different than all other cases because it's not really even a shaliach. It's a partnership. Everybody understands that a partnership, people do different things on behalf of the partnership, right? Mm-hmm. Like the idea of ishto kegufo, right? Your shaliach is your partner, your shutaf is like your gufo.
But in the there's a separate mitzvah. In the separate mitzvah of Shechita, is clearly your
shaliach. He's in Korban Pesach. He is my shaliach because he is my partner. He's my equal.
But
and therefore, maybe from Korban Pesach we can't learn something. Maybe Korban Pesach is an exception from which we cannot extrapolate because Korban Pesach has an element that is absent from the other cases. Nobody thinks in the case of a shaliach for a get or a shaliach for marriage that the shaliach is my equal. If he was my equal, if he was me, then he would be married to her after he puts the ring on her finger, right? But he's not. He's just an extension of me. Right? But in a partnership, we're all mixed together. So the Gemara says, so mehacha, maybe this is the source. V'yikhu lahem ish se levet avot, se levayit. That they should take for them, everybody should take a se,
says a lamb. Lamb. Everybody should take a lamb for each household. One lamb per household, per family unit. I mean, here the family unit means a chabura, a group of people that are eating. If you have a very, very, very large family, and one lamb isn't enough. Right. So v'dilma hatamnami de'it le'shutafut. Maybe that. If you want to say that's the case, so what's that? What's that a case of? What's the key word in that pasuk? Ish selabayit. Ish, one person is doing the work on behalf of a collective. So maybe that, in this case, a household. Right. So maybe that. But maybe that's the source for shlichut, that one person can do the job for everybody. So Gemara says, "Vdil mahatam nami deit leishutafut." But that's also a case of partnership, because they're all partners in this. And therefore, that would also be an exception to the rule. And therefore, since it's an exceptional case, since it has built-in partnership, obviously you can have one person doing it on behalf of everybody. And therefore, we can't extrapolate from that to other cases like marriage, divorce, etc. Right? Imkain, trei kroi lamili. So if that's the case, what do we need both psukim? What do we need one pasuk that the whole Jewish people, and another pasuk that says ish selabayit, one person takes it on behalf of the whole household? If they're both coming to teach you this exceptional thing about the Korban Pesach, what do we need both of them? Generally speaking, we don't do that. So im eino inyan lahecha de shayich, tadehu inyan lahecha de lo shayich. So you have both psukim to tell you this halacha. One is to tell you the case of the shutafut. The other is to tell you the case that's not the shutafut. Let me explain that. In other words, one is to tell you the special case of Korban Pesach. Yes, Korban Pesach is different than everything else. And repeating the halacha, repeating this idea embedded in another verse, is there to tell you, I told you once for this special case where it is shayach, where it applies. And I told you twice to let you know that you can extrapolate from what you think is an exceptional case to all other cases. And this is the source for shlichut. Korban Pesach is the source for shlichut. And even though Korban Pesach is admittedly a little different than other cases, right, it is still the case even for non-shayach, non-connected cases where there's no partnership. When I give the ring to the man to deliver to the girl to become my wife, he's not my partner. I don't want him to be my partner in the marriage. What? He's not even my partner when I send him for the divorce. He's not going to pay the alimony. He's not going to pay the ketubah. Right? But even in the cases without partnership, there's shlichut. Yes, okay. David.
So there are two psukim. One is to teach us about shutafut, and one is to teach us about shlichut in Korban Pesach. Does that mean from the second pasuk, if you had, you could have a shaliach who wasn't part of the shutafut in Korban Pesach? Could you have a scenario where I have my chabura, we have a shochet, he's going to do it, and but another chabura, as it happened, none of them know how to do shechita, and so then you could say, you know, we're the Kohanim and you're the Levi, so can you, Mr. Levi, can you come here over here? You'd be my shalich to do the shechita for my chabura. That would seem to be the, it'd have to be that. And
yes.
You wouldn't need that.
Well,
he doesn't.
Correct. Well, Rabbi Yonatan thinks that in order to be the shaliach for Korban Pesach, you need to be a partner on that particular korban, right? Which is why one person can shecht for everybody if everybody is a partner in that one korban, right? Now, again, Rabbi Yonatan's position is only theoretical and is also rejected.
So in your case, basically, you couldn't do that because they were the partner.
Well, maybe there could be two instances of shlichut here. one to actually bring the korban to the whoever is going to shecht it, and possibly the shochet himself is another shliach on top of that, even though he's not the partner.
Not according to Rabbi Yonatan. In all cases, I think we'll pause here because now we're going to start something afresh, and we will continue that next week. Right, next week. You having Shavuot Brachos? Or you'll be here? You'll be here. Okay, Mazal Tov, and thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
We will see you next week.
Mazal Tov.
We're trying to get this microphone situation squared away.
Right.
Thank you.